The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke these words. O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24, 28. I've always hesitated, and I really don't ever call a man a fool. I'm mindful of what the Scripture says about that. I don't do that. But Jesus has every right to say that. He knows. And he says, if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, he didn't say you're misguided. He says you're a fool. You're a fool. Why? Luke 24:27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself. He said, here it is. You, this is the Word of God. You accept that. You acknowledge that. Why don't you believe it? It's about me. That's a serious thing when you don't believe the Lord. Well, you say, I have my doubts. Oh, do you? He says, the one who does not believe God has made him a liar. I have challenged people, including someone even in this audience. I said, you don't believe what Jesus said? And he said, well, not entirely. I said, well, why don't you call God a liar? Oh, I wouldn't do that. No, of course you wouldn't. You just think it in your heart. The God who reads your heart. You're calling God a liar. You want to call God a liar? Well, beware. Better believe what he says. Does he mean what he says? He says what he means. He's going to do it. There was a man in musical comedy who didn't. It was from the operetta of the 20s called Porgy and Bess. And in this, a somewhat nefarious and sinful and questionable character named, appropriately, Sportin' Life. He sang it. I'm not a singer, but I'm going to sing it. It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things you are liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Oh, Methuselah lived to 1,000. But who calls that living? It ain't necessarily. It ain't necessarily. It ain't necessarily so. Are you like Sportin' Life? Well, you better not. Let me tell you what the Scripture says. It really starts out in what is called the seed pot of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15. It's the first great prophecy of Messiah. It's called the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. It says, the seed of the woman, it says, it will come, and it will bruise your head, Satan. And it'll bruise your head. It'll defeat the devil. Interesting phrase. The seed of the woman. Why, you people that are medical, even if you're not medical, you know that women don't have seed. Men have seed. That's our big function in life. We're seed sowers. Some of them sow it where they shouldn't be sowing it. Woman doesn't have seed. If this woman has a seed, how could she have a seed? Well, the only way, if the Holy Spirit is the Father, and she's a virgin, then in a sense this is the first indication that Messiah is born of a virgin. Right there. Because Jesus is the seed of the woman. Amazing expression. The beginnings. Well, we ought to have tell us where Messiah is born.
the Moody's, Sun Moon. They said he's the Messiah. Trouble is, born in Korea. A lot of people have said it. They're born in the wrong place. It isn't even enough that you're born in Israel. It's very specific. You've got to be born in Bethlehem, and it designates it after Ephrathah of Judea, that particular little town, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Right on the money. He's going to be born here. Micah 5:2. When was it written? 500 years before Jesus was born at Bethlehem. How in the world would the prophet know that? He can only know it by God, couldn't he? All you got to do is open your Bible. It's all there. Now take my word for it. The place. Bethlehem. Yeah, Herod asked the question. He heard about this child, and he called the wise men, the magi, and the people said, all right, where is the Messiah going to be born? And they went back to Micah, and that's in the New Testament. They said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that in Herod's day. They knew that it was a matter of prophecy. And the manner of his birth, Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I don't know too many virgins that have sons or children. Occasionally somebody will claim that. I don't know of anybody that's a verified virgin that ever had a child. And they've tried to weasel it around. Well, it isn't a virgin, it's a young woman. But you go back, and I've exhaustively studied all the Hebrew word book etymological definitions. And if you were going to use a word, virgin, this is one. Actually, if you were a young unmarried woman, you would have been a virgin, or you'd have been a dead woman. In those days. If they did that today, they'd decimate the population, wouldn't they? Well, I say the virgin, all right. And what? Is this Messiah? That you shall call his name Emmanuel. Means God with us. What is less well known is the fact that the very time of his coming and presentation is predicted in Scripture. You probably wouldn't know that. It's coincided with Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. It's found in Daniel chapter 9. And it says that from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, we know that exact date from history. And also from Nehemiah 2, the decree of Artaxerxes Logabatus to rebuild Jerusalem. That's the starting date of the 69 weeks. And then 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 69 weeks, at the end of 69, Messiah shall be cut off or killed. And from that, the number of years, the number of days to the tick and the tock is exactly when it happened. The very time, the place, the manner, the time. A matter of Scripture and history. How do you account for that? Well, just one of those things. That's a matter of your interpretation. You ever heard that one? Well, never mind my interpretation. You read it. What about his names? It's very significant. The names of Jesus, the names of Messiah. Well, I'll give you the most important. The most important name of Messiah is God. You think, well, Jesus God? Well, the prophet Isaiah said so. 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. No question, is there? Prince of Peace. You know who that is. Jesus is God. Isaiah said so. When did he say it? 700 years before Jesus was born. How did he know that? God. Son of God. Psalm 2:7. A Jewish secularists and liberals say, there's no such thing as God having a son, doesn't it? Well, actually, in Psalm 2, verses 7, 2, it says so. It says it. God has a son. Proverbs 30 reinforces that. It said, concerning the Creator, and who is his son? Surely you know his name. So. God has a son. A unique son. Not that he doesn't have many sons, but uniquely. Uniquely. The unique Son of God. The name of Jesus is a Messiah, is Emmanuel. What does it mean? God with us. When was God with us? When Jesus was with us, Isaiah 7:14. Jesus, the very name Jesus. You say, well, isn't that a nice name? Well, they didn't pick it because it was a nice name. We pick names because we like Linda or Mary or biblical names. Jesus was named by God. He also called his name Jesus. He should save his people from their sins. Jesus is the New Testament word for the Old Testament. Joshua, it really means God is our Savior. Who can save you but God? It says nobody can save you but God. Who can forgive sins but God? Nobody can forgive your sins but God, no matter what the priest told you. Only God forgives sins. In fact, the enemies of Jesus said that. Well, he would say, your sins are forgiven. He said, who can forgive sins for God? Whether they're right or they're wrong. Absolutely right. He forgave them. Just like that. Your sins are forgiven. I say, well, priests say that all the time. Priests say that. But Jesus said it by divine authority. Your sins are forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to know your sins are forgiven. And God says so. He's the only one that can say that. Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. Psalm 2 and 2. The Anointed One, Anointed of God. The King of the Jews. The least known title of Jesus. Did you know he's the King of the Jews? How could you be a Christian and be an anti-Semite? Your Savior was the King of the Jews. Dear friends, who do you think were the human instruments to write this book? Gentiles? Americans? Iraqis? Muhammad? Jews? It sticks in their craw. They hate them. I love the Jews. How can I not love the Jews? Is that what you know? All the Jewish, you know, guys, you know. Well, there are a lot of Gentiles I don't like either, you know. You, the Jews. Son of David. Ah, yeah. He's of the lineage of David. Son of David, have mercy on me, they said to Jesus. They knew Messiah was the son of David. He's the son of David by two of David's sons. Did you know that? He said, I know about Solomon. Yeah, but did you know about Nathan? Solomon is in the lineage of Matthew. Nathan is in the lineage of Luke. They're not conflicting genealogies. They're complementary genealogies leading down to two different sons. He said, well, why was that? The problem with the Solomon's descent was that his descendants were cut off from having Messiah by the curse of Jeconiah. He couldn't. So that cut him off. So Joseph could be the legal father, but not the biological father of Jesus. But Nathan was the biological father through Mary. And that is the lineage of Mary in Luke. Okay? Checks out, doesn't it? It all goes together. What about the offices of Messiah? Well, no other person had all three offices. We had a little discussion about that this morning in SBC. It was very interesting. It's true that Jesus is the Savior. But he has held all three offices, and no other man ever held all three offices. King, the King of Israel, and also, it says, the ruler of the nations. Jesus is a king. Pilate asked him that, "Are you a king?" And he says, Jesus said, "You say it, I'm a king." Jesus is a king. He is the prophet. Isaiah 61:1 says he is a prophet. And they often ask, "Are you," they said to John the Baptist, "the prophet like unto Moses," which he prophesied. He prophesied a coming prophet like unto him. He said, if you don't listen to him, it'll be fatal. You better listen to him. Jesus is a prophet. And most people will say, yeah, we don't believe Jesus is God. They believe he's a prophet. Yeah, he's God. And he's a prophet. And he's a king. But he's also a priest, a great high priest. Psalm 110:4. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus, he was not of the Levitical priesthood. He was of Judah. He could not be a normal, usual Jewish priest. He was not of the tribe of Levi. So he is of his own unique tribe, of which there is only one member, Jesus. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that mysterious character. Now consider him. What does it say of him in the New Testament? It said he was without father. He was without mother. He was without beginning of days or end of life, but abideth forever. Woo! Don't have any other priest like that. Yeah. Only one. Jesus. Priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amazing, isn't it? The ministry of Messiah. What were the proofs that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, Isaiah 9:11 said he came from Galilee. Was Jesus from Galilee? He was called the Galilean. Did he come to the Gentiles? Isaiah 42:14. Yes. He didn't just come to the Jews. Many of them thought he only came to them. One of the early rabbis says, God only made the Gentiles to be fuel for the fires of hell. Now he came to the Gentiles, a light to the Gentiles, and the Jews were to be a light to the nations, which is to say the Gentiles. Did he do miracles? Did he do healings? Did he do signs and wonders? Daniel 7, yeah, he did them all. That's what he did. What were they for? They accredited him as Messiah. There were proofs. There were evidences. And John said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? He said, you go tell him what I do, and then he'll know. And he said, and add this, and tell him, he says, and to the poor, the gospel is preached. And what of the trial, crucifixion, and death of Messiah? That's one of the mysterious things in the Old Testament. And so far as I can tell, I don't think any of the Old Testament students, and even in the apostolic times, could understand that there were going to be two comings of Messiah. They didn't get it. That Peter talked about, he says, they puzzled over that. How could that be? They said, there's two groups of scriptures here. It talks about a suffering and dying Messiah, but then it talks about a reigning Messiah. How can he be both? They couldn't figure it out. But simplicity itself, it was two comings. But it wasn't clear. What were the evidences? Old Testament. Old Testament. Before Jesus was born. Every one of these. He is to be betrayed by a friend. Was Jesus betrayed by a friend? Yeah. Judas Iscariot. He was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Zechariah 11. Was Jesus sold for 30 pieces of silver? He was to be accused by false witnesses, wasn't he? They hired them against him. He was to be mocked and beaten. Isaiah 50. Like Thelser, it says his face was disfigured and marred. He was pierced by his hands and his feet. Psalm 22. Now they try to wiggle around that one. They say, well, it's something else. And you go, again, we did the word studies and the etymological meetings and everything else, and there's no question about it. It says pierced. Pierced. His hands and his feet were pierced, according to Isaiah, Psalm 30, 22. Psalms written 1,000 years before Jesus is born. How could that be? If this isn't of God. And you don't believe that? Crucified with transgressors. How could the Messiah be crucified with transgressors? Prayed for his crucifiers. My friends, I could not do that. He did. Father, what? Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. He said, bring them under the permission of God that I can forgive the sins of the innocent and the ignorant. Not so much the presumptuous. They gambled for his garments, Psalm 22 and 18. He was deserted. God, when offered for sin, he was agonized by thirst. It was interesting to me that when Jesus said, I thirst, he did not say because he was thirsty. He said, according to the New Testament, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He was always conscious of the Scriptures. The Scriptures, they've got to be fulfilled. They will be filled. Not one jot and tittle will fail. Let me tell you what a tittle is. It's smaller than an apostrophe. That's a very tiny detail. He says, not a single thing will fail that God has said. You don't blame that? The resurrection. Will Messiah be raised from the dead? Oh, well, that's just a figment of the disciples' imagination. Oh, really? Hosea 6 and 2 said he would be raised from the dead after 3 days, and so did Psalm 16 and 1. Even after it said he would be killed, it said God will not suffer the soul of his anointed one to be corrupted by grave. Well, he's not going to let him be corrupted in the grave if the worms aren't going to eat him. What's going to happen to him? He's going to rise from the dead on the third day. Exactly what he did. He will ascend into heaven. Did it say that? Yes. Psalm 68, 18. It says so. He's going to ascend into heaven. There he was. And when he left, there's his last commission to people like us. He said, you're going to be my witnesses. We're equipping you this morning to be his witnesses. You don't have enough detail, come up here as long as they last and get 25 more copies, and if that ain't enough for you, buy a copy of my book when it comes out. Okay? And believe them. And use them. And witness. And open your mouth. And stop being afraid of being called a hypocrite. Or people rejecting you. Or something else. Stop using excuses. Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses. If you're going to obey me, you be my witnesses, and you tell what I've done in your life, and you tell others that they might know. See, one of the saddest things in my life is in all time, until I got saved, I didn't have a single solitary person ever do anything to me that I would remotely call witness, and never did. Where were all those Christians? I would have been in hell. For people whose mouths were shut and did not discharge their Christian obligation to be his witnesses. That's your obligation. That's your command from Jesus. And that's my plea to you as a person who would have been a victim of people who would not open their mouth for whatever reason. the descent of the Messiah. Did he have the credentials? Yes, he had to be a man. He came from Adam. He came through Shem, the Semitic peoples. He came through Judah. He came through the tribe of Judah. He came through Isaac and Abraham and Jacob and Israel and David. All those. There's genealogy in the Old Testament. And in the New, they're there for a reason. My earliest experience with Bible reading is I got lost in the genealogies. I couldn't see the reason for them. Well, they're there for a reason. Those genealogies are not there just to fill up pages and put you to sleep. They're there for a purpose. They're validating Jesus as the Messiah. The Scriptures. Well, fools do not believe them. Fools call God a liar. Are you a fool? Would you call God a liar? Or will you say, Amen? Will you say Amen? Truth, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my Messiah. Amen? Tell them. Don't shut your mouth. Tell them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, grant that this company will be a company of real believers, all that the prophets have spoken about you, and convey that witness to everything that lives and moves around them that will give them the slightest attention. And if they will not listen, just shake the very dust off their feet. We pray this, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.